Lay. What's up? Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up. The show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast, previewing the 2024 Waste Management Phoenix Open. I like to refer to it like as the granddaddy of them all type thing. This is when golf gets popping. It is an amazing spectacle of fans enjoying golf and actually usually good golfers showing up. We got, for the most part, this year a couple guys already backing out. We'll talk about that in a minute. We'll recap Pebble, talk a little live, and much more. You can find me on Twitter at BDIndrick, the podcast at Always Press DFS, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how we doing, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. A little Monday with the line of work I'm in. I'll be kind of available at home for the next week or so at least. So I'm kind of limited on things these days, but it's good. It's good. It was a fun weekend of golf, I guess, is the best way I can put it. So we'll start with Pebble. What were your thoughts on a 54-hole Pebble event that, surprisingly, like I was telling you off air, the weather was way better than anticipated because I'm like an hour south and it rained the entire time.
Yeah. It just is what it is. Like they know their choice, especially Sunday. You couldn't put people out there on Sunday. Yeah. I mean, people were talking about, like, it wasn't raining, but the wind was blowing so hard. Balls aren't going to stay in the greens then. Yeah. And then it becomes dangerous to get under trees.
Stuff falling down and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can't do it. And then I don't guess it's much better today, or at least.
No. Like I told you, it's been raining where I'm at until about a half hour ago.
So. Yeah. And then, you would have had to start them, everybody, by like 10 o'clock or something to even get it in today. So, I mean, it was the only option. It sucks, but it is what it is. So, it would have been nice to watch golf on Sunday at Pebble Beach with just professional golfers and seeing how that was, but we kind of got robbed of that this year. So but Wyndham Clark shoots 60. Did you watch much of that round on Saturday?
I surprisingly did. Even with the little one with me, I watched a lot of that round because I got her to play with toys or something and let Dad watch golf for a while, so it was pretty nice. And it was quite the how many feet of putts can I make in one round spectacle.
Yeah, I mean, just insane, especially on that through about the
front.
Yeah, the front was insane, but even, he made a hell of an up and down on 12.
Oh, we went lefty? Got bogey?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah. I had a buddy text me and goes, hey, the dude's hitting balls like you are right now. He's about to get a double. And I looked back like 10 minutes later, so I got a bogey, and I'm like, he's a pro.
Yeah, he hits it in that right bunker and it plugs. Terrible lie, terrible angle. Hits it out. It hangs up above the bunker. The next bunker has to go lefty. Just barely, gets it off the green on the right side. And it's like, well, good double. And then makes that, which doesn't even count as a putt, by the way. But, he putted it and it went in the hole. And then I don't even know what it would feel like to just everything you step over on the golf course, you're just, you have that kind of confidence where you just roll it in. I've had a few glimpses of that, mostly swinging the club, not really putting it, but they're few and far between for me. So I'd never reach anywhere close to 60 on the golf course. Golf course anyway. So
in my early days I was close to 60 on the front nine at times, but not on a full 18, I'll tell you that much.
Right,
so yeah, the closest I've ever come is my flat stick's actually the best part of my game. So there's certain rounds where I'm just like, it's weird. Like I'm not hitting those lengths of putts, but I'm making a lot of things where I'm like, wow, this is cool. And then you come out the next round and can't even hit the broadside of a barn. But that's why we're not professionals. It was cool seeing Wyndham do that. It was just fun watching these guys because even when it wasn't raining like it was supposed to, it was still pretty windy and the course was so wet because they even like overnight every night it rained a lot. Like Scotty talked about it. After his round on Friday, like how wet it was. He didn't think it was going to be that wet from the rain. And these guys were just hitting shots and zero movement. Like it would just stick where it hit. And right. So it leads me to my thing is people were saying, well, can you really count a low round if it's clean and play? And I'm like, I would, because they would have got about 20 more yards of roll on probably every shot they hit. So I think I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. That's just my two cents. Could be totally speaking out of place here, but I thought that was a funny conversation to me on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been fun to watch, because there was this leaderboard could have been really good. Yeah. Wyndham, obviously, you got Hebert up there.
Oh, by the way, they said on his walkthrough now, and they tweeted out that it's even getting annoying that it's changed every time. He told them you can just say Oberg. No.
Oberg. Okay.
Yeah, it's changed every time. There was a tweet about like all the different enunciations we've been told. So it's fun.
Yeah, JT, Scheffler, Burns, Rose, Keegan, Cantlay. I mean, like these guys were in the hunt, Morikawa. You know, maybe not necessarily to win, but could have been, you know, made a charge on Sunday. So yeah, we got robbed of, I think, a good Sunday there at Pebble, which would have been fun to watch. But like I said, it is what it is. There's not much you can do about it once you know, Mother Nature takes over. So instead, we got to watch Liv.
You got to watch Liv, and that was really fun. That's all I'm going to say is it was fun golf. You got to see – like I joked about it when Rahm and Hatton went with you. I'm like, I'm just going to have to find the CW because these are guys I like to watch. And we got the hot mic special for 3 days. We got a lot of F-bombs thrown out by those boys. Clear as day, unedited, just rolling on those ones. Just kind of like we predicted. That happened. But what was kind of fun, just tuning in on Sunday, I went kind of from the beginning, took a little break in the middle of the day, came back and watched the end. And it's golf shots, man. It's golf shots. And one thing I liked is a lot of caddy golfer interactions on the mics. Like it was definitely, if you like to watch golf, this was the viewing spectacle for you, it felt like.
Yeah, it is a better production for the fan, that's for sure. And I think in order for them to be successful, that's what they have to do, is really focus on like people who are going to watch it. Obviously, that's not been a lot, but this worked out perfectly for them. And the fact that, you know, Pebble was canceled, most of the time they're going against the PGA Tour final round and they're on the CW, PGA Tour's on NBC or CBS. So who's getting most of the eyes? It's going to be the PGA Tour. Cause like, I guess you figured out what CW channel is for you.
Yeah, I figured out somehow. I think my YouTube TV knows what I like to watch because it was one of the top options. I'll just click that button.
That's one of the best things about YouTube TV is like it predicts what you're going to watch. Like every Saturday when I afternoon when I go to watch TV, it's going to have college basketball games for me to watch. Yep. Like that's what it's going to do. So yeah, it was an option for me too on YouTube because I've watched golf on TV, obviously. Yep. But yeah, I mean, you know, Legion 13 just looked really tough and took home the team championship, which I thought was huge.
It was tremendous. The team title was great. Not sure how that all planned out, but it worked in their favor, obviously. Surratt, the 19-year-old, five under in the final round.
Straight out the dorm into being a millionaire.
Yep, tough life that guy's living. So that's like the argument some people are saying, like, look at this. Like, why wouldn't she do it? But then I guess the fun part was is we got to see Rahm just implode the last two holes. So like when you mentioned the perfect storm, no Pebble, plus it was Rahm's first time, Hatton's first time. Like whole new field, you get all these – like, oh, let's see what Rahm's up to. And Rahm's competing. Like, he's contending. He blows up at the end. You get Sergio and Neiman, four playoff holes in the dark. Like, literally, you guys want to go one more? It felt like that MJ Larry Bird commercial. Like, you want to go again? Yeah, let's go. And, like, this is one thing that, like, PGA's done, like, late night playoffs. And they don't really show you. Like, Liv's like, let's check this out for you guys. They turn like the filters off. Like, hey, they're literally putting thanks to the Jumbotron. That's what they're playing. That was so cool. That was like, this is what we've done with buddies in the past. So, like, just to kind of get the round in.
Right.
So it was fun. Like, is it great professional golf? I don't know, but it was fun. I'll say that much.
I agree. I mean, they had the perfect storm. Pebble was canceled. So people were looking to watch golf. That's an option. And then it was a close tournament. Yes. You know, I don't think it would have, you know, had it been a Neiman runaway after he shoots, I think he shot 59.
Second sub 60 round on Liv golf history.
Yeah. And so, you know, Rahm bitches about pitch and putts and that's all they play over there, but that's fine, whatever. But either way, you know, it was, it set up nicely because it could have been, you know, obviously a runaway for Neiman and just no chance of anybody catching him. But I was rooting for Neiman. I had a buddy who's a complete degenerate and bet Neiman to win pre-tournament. So
yeah, that's good.
Just rooting for my buddy to win there. But yeah, I mean, you know, the whole team aspect and shit like that, like, I don't know. I think it kind of could be cool, but I don't know if I will let it, because it's just hard for me to care if Legion 13 beats the Crushers.
Well, it's,
and they
it's,
win an extra $3 million.
That part's ridiculous. They win an extra $3 million. But the it's hard to care about a team event and a single event at the same time. Like, it needs to either be, like, I know I haven't watched any, obviously, we talked about it, and I'm not going like a full on live thumper here, but I'm saying, hey, it's golf. It's fun. Let's like appreciate it, because it ain't going away anytime soon. So let's try to like find the bright side of this. And I think like when they do that final team event in Miami, I've like watched clips of that, and that seems kind of fun because that's like team focused. Like, okay, here we go. It's not Ryder Cup esque, but it's team. Where this one, it's like you got these guys going here, and then you're trying to figure out why this guy gets points over here. It's kind of all over the place. Maybe if we watched it more, we'd understand. I don't know, but
you know, one thing that they could potentially do is do a Ryder Cup style, like,
100%.
Team finale, where it's like match play and a kind of a bracket. And you know what I'm saying? Like, after the year's up, then, you know, first team Legion 13 saying that they're the best team or whatever throughout the whole year, they get a bye into the second round. You know, I mean, that would be something that would be more, that would get me into more team base. But like, I'm never buying a Legion 13 hat.
Oh, dude, you know? some of that gear out there, man, it was pretty slick. Are you telling us?
I think all their shit looks awful myself.
I'll say this much. It looked better this year because they had some new blends than the original stuff.
But they, like, their shirts are so like European-esque. Like, 100%. Not wearing that shit.
Yeah, they don't. Know? Well, for a big guy, they definitely don't work on me. European stuff, very tight and slendery deals. So that's tricky for me.
It's kind of bizarre to me that they're all like, it's all like very European, and I that's just not the style of clothes that I wear. But and either way, they won the day.
They won the day. It was fun to also to hear Flaherty back on the mic. I love Flaherty.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's good. I feel like they do have some good announcers, and they don't try to talk constantly. Did you hear Neiman after the round?
Yeah, about not being in majors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's like, well, you know, you played last year. You played in all four of them last year. You made two cuts out of four events. So I don't know what to tell you, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I guess the sob story people are trying to say is like, that's the thing, dude, you signed up for this. You know what you're getting. I agree with that.
You just won $4 million.
That, I mean, too. You picked like, money over, like, you know, Wyndham had his speech as I picked legacy over live type thing.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Yeah. So be it. I guarantee you, if they came back with a $100 million offer, you'd probably change your mind. But that's just the brass tacks of it. But like Neiman's group, because Neiman was like that second wave of like younger golfers that went through on year two. And the rumor has it, and again, rumor, I'll never know the answer, is that Norman said that they were going to start getting OWGR points. And that's why they were cool with it. If you tell me I can still qualify for majors and make millions, I'm probably signing up too.
Oh, 100%. Like, why would you not?
Yeah. And so I think that's where his comments came, Neiman's comments came from. He's like, hey, I was basically told I could qualify for this stuff. Like Gooch and those guys, now they're all like, what the hell? Why am I not in these events?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it wasn't guaranteed. So, you know,
they took a risk and they're losing risk.
Right. That's what I'm, you know, I mean, I think we're in agreement on like,
yeah,
boo fucking who, man. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, and personally, like, I'm a big fan of, you know, legacies and things, but hey, you throw me three figures out there. It's hard 100%. To say. I'm not judging these dudes on this one, but just don't cry a wolf either.
Right.
Like,
right.
HV3 the whole time, flat out. I came for the money. Okay, cool. Go get it, buddy.
Like DJ, too. DJ, yeah. DJ like, oh, I just wanted to make some money.
And... Oh, and you can tell he's kind of just letting himself go a little bit. He's just out there collecting paychecks.
I also, just to kind of, I think, cap on this is, or to put a cap on, they made a hell of a choice to go to Las Vegas this week.
Yes, that is going to be the interesting one. I get the idea because they're doing Thursday, Friday, Saturday instead of Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So they're going there Super Bowl weekend. If they're smart, they can use Media Row and all the different deals to grow the game. They're going to get all kinds of spectators and parties. Like, the concept is a good idea. But A, you're still competing with the Super Bowl in the same town. that's going to be an interesting deal. Basically, you're going to be giving away a bunch of suites is what it sounds like Liv will probably end up doing.
Yeah.
And second, going up against the biggest tournament of the year outside of a major, in my opinion, in the Waste Management Open. So
that's a good point. But from, a PR perspective in Las Vegas, I think they'll get more people.
Oh, 100%. They'll have a full course
there. Yeah.
It'll be like anybody that's been in Vegas and you walk around the strip and there's a guy with the cards that they keep slapping to get right. you to go on the limos.
Yeah, it's going
to
be free. It's going to be free Liv tickets.
100%. Yeah, like there ain't going to be a lot of paid patrons there, but it's going to be packed. Right. That's going to be what's going to be one of those deals. Like
you would think. Hypothetically, you would think.
If they're smart at all, it's what they do. They pack that baby, especially after this weekend they just have. You get that CW rolling, you show a packed house, and you really try to pump this.
Free thing. Drinks.
Yeah. Oh, free food, there's party suites and stuff. Like, yeah. Because they showed the party hole. The par three hole they're going to have. If they're smart, they grow this thing. We'll see.
Yep.
We'll talk more, Liv, probably next week because I am curious. I am really curious how the Vegas thing goes this weekend, and we'll see how that goes. But I did mention we have the Waste Management Phoenix Open. Just I love this tournament in so many ways. And we've got tons of course history, Jesse, or event history. Let us have it.
Yep. So last year, Scotty Scheffler was the champion, 19-under, two shots over Nick Taylor. 2022, Scotty Scheffler was the champion, 16-under in a playoff over Cantlay. 2021 was Brooks Koepka for the second time. 19-under, one shot over Cately and Xander. Webb Simpson was the 2020 champion, 17-under in a playoff over Tony Finau. Ricky Fowler was the 2019 champion, 17-under, two shots over Brandon Grace. Gary Woodland was the 2018 champion, 18-under in a playoff over Chez. Hideki won this place back-to-back 2017-2016, both in playoffs. I mean, there's been 5 playoffs in the last 8 years, which it's pretty cool.
And it's a pretty fun one because this tournament usually ends like an hour before kickoff, and then the playoff kicks in. I'll never forget it was the year – was it 2019 when the Falcons blew it versus the Patriots? That was one of the
2017 is when they did that. But
okay, so that was one of the Matsuyama wins I can tell right now because I remember that thing went a few holes and it basically finished right at like the national anthem. It was like boom, boom. It was the best. That's all I know. It's like the perfect storm for us degenerates out there that like both sports. So
this golf course sets up well for finishing holes too when you got 16, 17, and 18.
Yep, party hole, drivable par four with water, and then the waters and the church pews on 18. It's a lot of risk rewards out there on these holes. So
right.
Should be a doozy. When you're looking at this golf course, obviously we know a lot about it, reading up on it. It's got the third best course history just after the Masters and Wylie, just the century. When people talk about course history and stickability to that. It is TPC Scottsdale, as most know. It is a par 71, 7,260 yards, which is not too big, all things considered, but it is only 71 instead of 72, unlike last week. There's six holes with water in play, and outside of 17, which you just mentioned, most of the water you can kind of avoid, except 15 is a nice par 5, where it's the risk-reward, do you go for it or do you find the water? That's a fun one. There are a few other ones as well that bring water into play. A lot of bunkers. Talked about the Church Pee bunkers on 18. There's 67 bunkers out there. Fairways are Bermuda. Greens are Bermuda for the most part. You get it's a desert linksy style course. Weather should be great. If you get in the shit, you'll be in the cactus and all that fun stuff. You can usually punch out of it, though, so don't think it's the end of the world. But you want to be in the fairways. It could turn into a birdie fest. Approach game is tremendously important. Par 5 scoring is huge. You got to take advantage of these. Like I mentioned, the 15, a lot of people can get there in 2. You can get to 2 in pretty much all the par 5s on this course if you're coming out of the fairway. So approach game's key. A lot of par 4s, 4 to 450. It's a big bucket for that. And all the par 5s are, where did I put my notes here? About 550-ish to 600. So, approach game, crush your par 5s, stay out of the shit, and it should be a fun one. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. I also wait a lot of course history.
You
mentioned it, but it is huge. So otherwise, I don't really have anything else to add there. I think you did a great job.
Oh, well, thank you. let's go to the DK picks. And Xander is still on the DK for now. He withdrew this afternoon on Monday. Vic Hovland withdrew Monday morning. both sides, you know, they need to practice more before the Genesis because they don't like how they're playing, which that's a valid reason for one. But also last week was whatever the hell they call it, elevated event. Next weekend, elevated event. Waste Management has its own lure, so it's going to keep a lot of people here. But you might see this more often of some of these big guys saying, I got to go. I'm not playing good golf right now.
Until they make this another elevated event, whatever that rotation comes back.
True. Very true. That was fun last year. Yes. So we got two people in the 10K range, technically. We actually have one in the 10K and one in the 11K range. Let's put it that way. Scottie Scheffler back to back, and he learned how to putt this past weekend, folks. Given it was on POA, we'll see. But Scottie's 11-6, JT 10,000. JT was bogey free in 2 out of 3 rounds last week, too. He's playing big boy golf. So who do you like here?
Yeah, both. I mean, obviously, the back to back defending champion, Scottie Scheffler, best player in the world at the moment. And then Justin Thomas, man. I mean, just kind of quietly going along, but has placed inside the top 10 every single start this year. So 3 starts. If you go back to the Fortnite, finished 5th. Wyndham back in August finished 12th. So it just kind of quiet. I don't think it's going to be like you're going to be able to get Justin Thomas at very low ownership this week. That's not what I'm saying, but he's just kind of quietly going along and it looks to be like returning to form. And he's got good course history too here. 4th, 8th, 13th, 3rd, 3rd, 17th, going back to 2018. So be hard to pass up on playing JT this week, man.
Yeah, I'm team JT. It brought me back to when we were doing those underdog shows. We were taking the JT value. And then I tweeted it out yesterday. I've been doing a ton of, just for fun, like the $3 underdogs. They just came out with another one. You can do 50 max instead of 20 max. I've just been kind of plugging along because they go very quick. And JT's now in the first round in those drafts, and rightfully so. So it's one of those I get really bummed if I can't sneak a second round JT anymore. So
we got spoiled at the beginning.
100%. We got very, very spoiled. So yeah, he's a great option indeed. So, yeah, going back to the JT, well, Scotty's the dude. I just never pay 11K for a guy because he has to win, which he's done 2 years in a row, and he finished well, like I said. But I just can't do it, so I'll miss the boat if he gets there. A $10,000 JT, albeit should be kind of popular, as you mentioned. I think it's a great, great pick, obviously. Homa's at 98, Burns 96, Spieth 95, Fitz 94, Sungjae 93, Cam Young 92, Sahith 91, Wyndham Clark 9,000. This is an interesting range. What do you like here?
Yeah, this is a pretty good range. This is kind of a major-esque type of range here, especially with only 2 guys above 10K. I feel like we could have maybe fixed that.
Well, originally it was probably Vic and Xander. Now
Xander was in there, but I can't remember what. I think he was above 10K too.
I would imagine Vic's above 10K.
Homa at 98 is definitely playable. 4 out of 4 made cuts at this event. Coming off a 66th place finish last week, not great, but before that had finished inside the top 15 a bunch of straight times. I'm not even going to count all those. Sam Burns, man. So 6th here last year, which makes the second cut out of 5 attempts at this course. Take that for what it's worth. 6th last year, though, and 10th last week, 6th the week before that. He's trending in the right direction as well. Sungjae at 93, 4 out of 4 made cuts here. He's finished inside the top 10 twice, inside the top 23 times. Not a good showing again for Sungjae last week. That's straight course history, kind of like cash play more than, I don't know, where his game's at currently. Thigala is most definitely playable. 2 out of 2 made cuts here. 3rd back in 2022. Almost won it, like, in one of his first pro events. And 20th last week at AT&T at Pebble. And then Wyndham Clark, 9,000. Obviously, winner last week at $7,400. Did we talk about him at all last week? I don't know.
If we did, it was very briefly. And depending on what sports books you had, he was another triple digit
winner. I know, 100-1, like on a lot of sports books. It's utterly insane to me. His course history is okay. 10th missed cut, 36th, 34th missed cut. Coming off the win, hasn't missed a cut himself since the PGA Championship in May. So, he's been playing solid golf and then just obviously pops. I don't know if he wins. It's hard to back up that 60 last yeah. on Sunday, you know, if they have to play again. But he gets the dub. So obviously rolling the rock really well, which is key in this type of event where you need to make a lot of birdies.
Yep. Don't hate it at all. For me in this range, Sam Burns at 96, you hit on him. I've always kind of been wavery on Sam Burns, but a couple things you mentioned: course history, six miscut 22nd. I think that's nice coming in. And then we just saw really good golf, 10th last week, six of the Amex, like you mentioned. Also, I like seeing that from Sam Burns. Once a guy we thought was going to be this big time, you know, contender on tour, kind of took a couple steps back. Looks like he might be finding form again. So it could be a fun time to hopefully get some lower ownership in this range. Spieth's got the course history, but he played horrible last week. Like a report came out after round one that, oh yeah, he's trying to get back into form because when he went back to Texas, all it did was snow. He couldn't practice, so he's getting loose again. Like, that's pretty awesome. I had millions of dollars. I probably wouldn't be staying in Texas if it's snowing to get ready to go play an elevated event. The other thing is
you can just go to like an indoor practice facility.
Hey, you telling me he doesn't have access to like some pretty cool stuff?
Yeah, there's one in particular in the Fort Worth area, which is called Tour Proven Golf.
Yeah, you've told me about that. Sounds like a pretty cool place. Yeah. So, yeah, when I heard that thing, I'm like, no. It's just called, he's either being lazy or he's just playing bad golf. Like, you pick. Yeah. Sungjae at 93, I'll get back in on just because it's more of a birdie track. T6 here last year at 17, 34, 7th course history. We talked about like his course history at the Century. That worked out really well with Sungjae, where he finished 5th in that field. So I'll take my chances jumping back on him. Hopefully low ownership because I saw a miscut 66th. That'd be nice. So I'll go there. 100% back in on Sahith, $9,100. A couple of years ago, like you mentioned, he almost won this darn thing, kind of made his big coming out party. He's played well so far, 20th. He had a second of the Century, miscut the Sony. So I think Sahith's fine. If you want to go Wyndham, you can. I'm not going to say no to that. Playing good golf, decent form here. 10th here last, like you mentioned. It's tough to back up also, but I'm okay with it if you want. I prefer more the Sahith, Sungjae, Burnsy area in here, but fun range indeed. $8,000 range here. We got Post on 89, Benny on 88, Min Woo Lee 87, Tom Kim 86. Man, remember when he used to be like always 10K for a run there? Eric Cole 85, Hideki 84, Scott 83, Ricky 82, Connors 81, Hadwin and Bo Hostler at 8,000. This is a good range, but a rocky range, it feels like.
Yeah, start with Ben on up top there. Has never missed a cut here. He hasn't played here since 2021, but you know, finished 9th in 2020, 6th in 2017. So has had some success around this golf course, and obviously was close at the Sony Open back in mid January, and 4th at the Century Tournament Champions. He did play last week and finished 31st. So I think he's fine. Min Woo Lee, I think, is playable. He's never played here, but obviously getting a lot of starts on the PGA Tour this year with his membership. So I think he's fine. Hideki has the course history where he's won this place twice back-to-back, never missed a cut. He did WD in 2018, but other than that, has made every cut since he won back-to-back in 2016, 2017. Last week, not a great showing. Started 75, 71 on Friday, 70 on Saturday. So ended up finishing 71st, but did finish 13th at the Farmers the week before that. Corey Connors at 8,100, 4 out of 4 made cuts here, and hasn't missed a cut on tour since the U.S. Open back in June. Not great finishes, but you know, I think he could be a cash style play for people if they want to play him for playing cash this week. And Ricky could be playable. Obviously, past champion, flashed a little bit of form last week. Started 67. At the AT&T Pebble Beach. I don't know which course that was on, but they were playing about equal. It wasn't
it's pretty close.
Drastic difference between the two golf courses.
This much, I think it might be the players that played, but they showed if you went Spyglass Pebble, you're like, it was like minus 60 something, where Pebble Spyglass was like 32 something, minus 32. But I think it might have been the talent pool was the difference.
Yeah, very well could have been. Yeah, and that's all I'm looking at here in the 8K range. Adam Hadwin would be another guy potentially from a course history perspective. He's never missed a cut here since 2017, finished 10th last year.
All righty. For me in this range, JT Poston, going right back to him at $8,900. He's first in DK scoring over the last 24 rounds in this event. At least it should be. Yeah. Or yeah, he's 17th in my mock. I got used to this new layout for Fantasy National. It's got good stuff, but it's taken me a second to get used to on here. Posting miscut last year, but overall pretty good history. 4 straight made cuts prior to that and playing really good golf. 20th, 11th, 6th, 5th so far on this season. So I'm on the JT Poston wagon. Benny on, I'm with you on that one at 88. I'll just go right back to him. He's playing just really good golf. 19th in my Molly, 6th in approach, 3rd in DK scoring, 1st in par 4s, 4 to 450, 16th in par 4s, 450 to 500 if you want. He kind of struggles on the long par 5, which is kind of surprising, but overall could fit this course really well. Let's go back to Eric Cole. He's going to keep doing it. 3rd in my model. He's 5th in approach, 1st in birdie or better, 2nd in DK scoring, 2nd in par 4s, 450 to 500, 8th in good drives. So he's going to stay out of the shit, hopefully, which is great. And when you look at Cole, obviously he's never played here, but the recent form, got back on track with a 14th last week, miscut the Farmers, within 21st, 13th, 14th. We know the drill. What a lot of those courses have in common, for the most part, shorter courses that don't have a lot of trouble with them. That's where Eric Cole can just go bonkers, and that's where I like him on an event like this to get right back on track. A couple other guys here. Like, we talked course history. I think Hideki's close. It feels like he's close to getting back $8,400. I'll bite the bullet in a league or two on this one. 29th, 8th, 42nd, 16th, 15th, the last 5 years here. Two-time champion as well, as we've mentioned. So I could see going back to Hideki. Last week, he struggled tremendously. But 13th, the Farmers was great to see. 30th, the Sony. Maybe we're seeing some good golf potentially from and Hideki, so you can get ahead of it at a low ownership to Hideki. Adam Scott at 83, he'll be low owned and decent course history. And you mentioned Hadwin. And then I'll keep playing some Bo Hostler. If it's going to be a quote-unquote close to a birdie fest of some sort, that's where Bo seems to really get it going. He's only $8,000, should get overlooked in this range. 14th here last year after 2 missed cuts at this event. And he's been a much better golfer, even like we all said it last year. He's coming in great form, 14th at Pebble, 6th at Farmer, 47th at Amex. Had a really good fall swing. So I think Bo Hostler at 8,000 is a dude I could see myself gravitating towards. 75 to 79, you got Siwoo, Harmon, Bhatia, Berger's back, baby. Mm-hmm. Lowry, McCarthy, Dietrich is playing some good golf. Putnam, Mitchell, Griot, Harris, English. Who do you like here?
Norin, $7,900. Missed the cut here last year, but 6th, 43rd, 21st, and his 3 starts previous to that, and 2 straight, basically top 25s, finished 26th last week for him on tour, so not bad for his price. Siwoo, 3 straight made cuts at this event, back-to-back top 26s, and then coming off a 14th place finish last week. Akshay, at 7,800, has never played here, but has been playing some really solid golf. He did miss the cut at the American Express where the cut was like 75 under. But otherwise, if you don't count that, he's got 3 straight top 15s on the season, which is pretty solid. Berger, probably playable. His course history is not great, but when he has made the cut here, he's been inside the top basically 10. Take that for what it's worth. And then Tomas Dietrich. I didn't actually put him on my DraftKings team, but I bet him top 20 last week. I think we were talking about it.
That worked out well for you.
And I got paid on that, which is nice. Finished 4th last week, 20th at the Farmers. So 63 to open up on Sunday or Thursday for Thomas there, Tomas, Mr. Dietrich. Whatever you want to call him, $7,600, plug him in.
And I'll just say this much. I'm not going to try to say underdog all day, but this is a fun region for underdog because these are guys that are going to play a lot. And I just want to remind everybody, underdog season long closes this Thursday for this event. And so one kind of, it's not a cheat code, but a smart thing to do, make sure you got at least 6 guys, if not your whole team from this event. So at least you get a head start on things. Y'all need guys to be able to play the Masters and whatnot, but just for this first round, if you're drawing dead just this week alone, probably doesn't bode well for you. Maybe I'm wrong. Just 2 cents. And these are some guys that a lot of guys we just mentioned, I just bring it up because like Bhatia, Berger, McCarthy, Dietrich, Putnam, Mitchell, like a lot of this range, they're like the last round or 2 picks, or they don't even get drafted. So these are just guys to think about. If you want to throw a dart with one of your last picks, these are some dudes to look at. All right. For me, though, I like Norin. One thing I'll say about Norin, If you play first round leader bets, just bet him. He seems like when he goes lowest, it's in that first round, and he makes you think you're going to run the world, and then he kind of floats around and gets a T25, like you mentioned. Does have the good course history here, like you said, sixth in 2022. So I don't mind Noren if you want, but he loves to go low early, it feels like. Or play him in showdown, because at least one round he feels like he just runs so pure. Siwoo Kim, 79 with you there. Bhatia at 78. He's a guy that he can be a birdie. He's eighth in my model, which is great to see. A second from 150 to 175 in the field. So definitely a guy that can potentially go low. I like Denny McCarthy at 76. The game's been kind of up and down for Denny, but if it turns into a birdie fest slash putting contest, that could be good. One caveat, if we're talking course history, he's missed three straight cuts here. So take that with your grain of salt. But he's coming in with a 26th last week, 24th at the Sony, 43rd Century, all the way back to a 5th at the RSM, if you want to go that far back. So he can be a guy that kind of goes low-owned here. And then I like Dietrich a ton. He's a guy I've been focusing on in a lot of my preseason drafting, like him. Griot at 75 is another guy I'll mention here. Played really well last week, 14th at Pebble, 20th at Farmers, 7th at Century. He's coming out firing on all cylinders in this 2024 season. Missed two straight cuts here, missed three out of the last four, but it's 22nd at 33rd mixed in there. So maybe we're getting a good Griot this year. Someone to think about. And that is it for me in this range. 74 to 7,000. Who do you like here?
Hubbard, 7,400. Did miss the cut here last year, but before that, in 2021, he was 30th, 9th, 42nd, 60th. So I had made a bunch of cuts in a row, missed the cut last year, and then coming off a fourth place finish last week, 20th at the Farmers the week before that. Seabez at 7,400. He missed a cut here last year, but I would say he's coming in much better form this year. Already bet him to in the top 20 market there. So I like that play, and then also him on DraftKings as well. Taylor Moore at 7,300, finished 14th here last year. 47th last week, 70th, made cut basically at the Farmers. Played the Century, finished 25th. So he's had an all right start to the season. Kurt Kitayama, 23rd here last year, and has not missed a cut on tour since late June, just kind of churning out a bunch of top 40s, basically. So Kitayama at 7,200 is not a bad play. Aaron Rye, another guy who I've already bet top 20, 42nd here last year, 33rd at the Farmers his last time out. EVR, 50th here last year, missed a cut in 2021, but he's just kind of been going right along too, and just, obviously had the win back in the fall, but 20th, 25th in his last two starts. Another guy already bet in the top 20 market. Luke List, another guy already bet in the top 20 market just because of the odds. Yep.
I like those top 20 bets. EVR did come through. I was curious to see how you do in the wind on Sunday, but didn't have to worry about it.
Nope. No, sir.
Yep. Seabez at 74. I'm on board with you there. We were all over Seabez a lot last year. Then he kind of struggled, went to Europe for a bit, come back guns blazing so far this year. So I'll be back on that train. Hubbard as well with you. Good course history. Had a good week last week at Pebble. And those are the kind of guys that really flourish from those elevated events that just sneak in. And then they have that big week, big paycheck, big points. That's a big thing because you remember Hubbard's brother, who's a good Twitter follower, was tweeting out when this elevated schedule got last year and started talking about it. And he was kind of preaching for these guys like his brother and others that are going to get kind of screwed over on this one. Well, Mark snuck in there and took advantage of that. So that was good to see. Hoagie at 73 is someone that I'm not all in on, but someone I'm curious about to watch ownership for a couple of reasons. He can get hot at times. And his course history, it's miscut 14th, miscut 25th, 44th. So, two out of 4 years, 25th or better at 73. You can work with that. You look at the sixth last week at Pebble, 56th at Farmers, 17th at the American Express. So he's playing decent golf. I think Hoagie's a guy that could be fun. Kevin Yu, he's good as well. You liked him a lot last week. I think, if I remember correctly, he was super cheap last week.
He was.
Had a rough week at Pebble, but coming in good form prior to that. Taylor Moore, as well as a guy that, if you look at past history, finished 14th here last year, but in current form, 47th, 70th, 25th. So not elite, but he's cashed all three trips this year. And other than that, I love EVR. Obviously, he's sixth in my model. He's just rates out beautifully. Second in ball striking, eighth in birdie or better, 12th in DK, 19th in the par five, 17th in the par fours. rates out great. Only other guy I'll mention is Billy Ho at $7,100. Like, we talk about a guy hitting the struggle bus last year. He found it tremendously, but a couple things. He's made at least five straight cuts here. 32nd, 6th, 53rd, 9th.
All the way back to all the way back to 2017, he's not missed a cut.
Because you said that's primo if we are doing the course history. Missed cut at Farmers, missed cut at Amex, 18th at the Sony, which is good. So you can tell he's still tinkering with things. It's not all there for Billy Ho yet, but if you want to take tournament history into consideration here, and a guy that at one point was an elite player in the game, elite ball striker, if he can maybe start to figure things out, this could be a course that can maybe unlock it for him. And $7,100 could be a nice little play on this one. 6K range, who you liking?
Yeah, Jake Knapp, $6,900. Finished third his last start at the Farmers. Didn't play last week at the Pebble. Doesn't have that kind of elevated status, but third place finish there. If you look at his swing, it's pretty fucking sweet. Nick Hardy at $6,800. 42nd here last year, has not missed a cut on tour since the fortnight. He's played a shit ton. I mean, every event. He's played every event. Basically just finished inside the top 50, which is about all you need. I mean, obviously got a little bit of upside there, hopefully. Johnny Vegas, $6,500. Four straight made cuts for him at this event. Five straight made cuts for him on tour, or missed cuts for him on tour. So, yep. Whatever. Carson Young, another guy I think who's playable. He's never played here, but he's got back-to-back made cuts. Justin Lauer, another guy who's played here once, finished 50th last year. Three straight made cuts for him on tour. Assuming that they didn't play Pebble. Yeah, I don't think either one of those guys played Pebble. So saying made cuts does make sense, but that's where I'm at in the 6K range.
For me, I'll give Sam Ryder a peek at $6,900. Somehow he ranks fifth in my model. That shot
about a first round leader bet.
That's a really good one there, yeah. But $6,900. We look at this course, at least five straight made cuts for me. T20 last year, 23rd the year before. That's pretty sweet. 31st at Pebble, missed cut at the Farmers, ironically, and then a 62nd at the Amex. So Ryder at 69, he'll probably be popular actually. Scott Stallings at $6,700. This is another guy, three straight made cuts, 23rd, 21st, 36th at $6,700. I'm on board for that. And we saw him flirting on the leaderboard for a little bit at the Amex, or that the Farmers finished 25th. That's another place he had a good course history. Missed the cut at the Amex, 42nd at the Sony. So Scott Stallings at $6,700. Grayson Murray at 66, I could go back to. I know 66th at Pebble, missed cut at the Amex, won the Sony. And then when you look at Murray down here in past history, he hasn't played since 21, 42nd, 56th, 59th. Obviously not the best of finishes. That's also when Grayson was in his bag. Let's put it that way. So if he is back to being a pretty reliable golfer, 66 is a really good price tag. You mentioned Vegas. The other guy I'll mention, we make fun of him every time because he's down here cheap. But if you're doing course history, like, I don't like to play cash in 6K. I don't even think I want to recommend this. But if you want consistent golfers down here that are boring, just need to make the cut, Zach Johnson is $6,300. And he's 32nd, 43rd, 42nd, missed cut, 39th for the last 5 years at $6,300. And it's a guy that in recent form, 25th at the Amex. That looks pretty good to me, honestly, at $6,300. If you just need a guy to get through for super cheap, if you don't want to go into GPP, but you want to get through, Zach could be the guy. So I think that's an option as well. All right, let's recap things. We like both guys in the 10K range.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to try to go there.
Thank you.
9K range.
I'm going to say Burns.
Yeah, I'm liking him a lot more. I will go with Sungjae, though. I'm hoping for a little bounce back. Hopefully people are kind of pissed off at the way he's been playing lately. 8K range.
I just want to be known that I also like JT Poston. I just, for some reason, skipped over him. So I like your call on that. I will say – this is kind of a tough range. I mean, it's like, which Asian golfer do you want?
And Eric Cole.
That's true. I'm going to say Hideki.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I think he's getting close. It feels like he's really close. I'll go JT Poston, though. 75 to 79.
I'm going to say Dietrich.
I like that. I think he's in for a big year. Like, he's going to be in the 8K range real quick. I think that's close. It's crazy seeing Brian Harman at 70. I didn't even talk about him. I was thinking about that. You mentioned Dietrich. I will take I didn't check him off, but I'll go Noren. But I'm really really rooting for Berger. I'll say that much. 7K to 74.
Oh, that's a tough one.
Take Seabez.
Yeah, I mean, it's either him or Aaron Rye. I'll say Aaron Rye just for because he's cheaper.
Yeah, I'll go Seabez. But a guy I'm going to look into some more, I didn't realize he was down this cheap. I'm just looking real quick. Luke List, $7,100.
Yeah.
That stood out in a big way. Missed cut here last year, but 53rd, 30th, 25th. So three of the last four cuts here. Felt like he's playing good golf.
Yeah, he hasn't missed a cut since he withdrew from the Rocket Mortgage, but missed cut official was U.S. Open back in June. So, and obviously has a win.
He's seventh in my model. That's why it stood out to me all of a sudden when I saw that. I was like, wait a freaking minute. So that seems like a misprice to me. 6K range.
Carson Young. I'm not a fan of this.
I'm going to try not to go
fall off in my opinion.
I don't want to go down here either. I'm going to say Scott Stallings. It tells you everything you need to know about this range. If you're playing cash games this week, who are three pieces you'd start with?
I think Corey Connors is cash viable for sure. Poston, probably another guy who I would highly consider for cash. And then somebody's a little bit cheaper, maybe like Kurt Kitayama.
That's fair. I will go with give me some Dietrich, Poston, and Matsuyama. Give me those three. If you're starting a tournament lineup, though, where are you starting on this one?
I got JT, Akshay, and Sahith.
Yeah, give me I'll try to be different since you took JT just for fun. I'll go give me Sam Burns and Sungjae. Double tap the 9K range. And then give me Luke List. I'm really mad I missed out on that one. So I think he's going to be pretty good at 71. And he's always a boomer bust type play. All right. DK Sportsbook, what are we looking at this week?
Yeah, well, you know, one thing I've learned about DraftKings is their odds suck.
Yeah, you mentioned that last week. You said FanDuel was pretty sweet.
There was so much better. So on like you've got I've already bet Seabed because you got to go 100 and above because that's just what happens.
That's just the way it goes these days.
Yeah. So you got to go immediately to 100 and then start picking guys. So I got Seabed, Luke List, Aaron Rye, and EVR all at 120-1, and they were all, I think, 100-1 on DraftKings.
That's pretty good.
And then I bet them all top 20 as well. And then I added in your first round leader, Alex Noren, bet because somebody needs to make some money off of, you know, your picks. So you tell me
who else. EVR top 20 last week and Rogers the week before. So I'll keep trying to throw them out there.
Right. I'm just telling who's hot. You know, I mean, that's what you got to do in these games. Plus, you don't have any skin in the game. So
yeah, I can't. Like,
right. So somebody has to bet for you.
I still want to put like 10 top 20 bets in every week so badly. So I'm looking at top 20s right now. And it's like Ben Griffin's been really, really good. Nick Hardy, like Hardy's, you know, 5.5-1 at top 20. Ben Griffin's 4.5-1. Those are fun. Deeper top 20s that you could take some chances on. There's Carson Young down there.
Ben Griffin and who?
Ben Griffin and where did he go? Nick Hardy.
Hardy.
Those are both interesting top 20s. I think
I got 4.5 and 5.5 on this.
Yep, that's what DK has.
Okay.
I'll leave it at that. I won't name all of like a million of them, but those are two that stood out in a big way because, like, heck, Griffin was just in an elevated event for Christ's sake. I'm not saying that means anything, but he's better than a lot of these guys down here, is what I'm trying to say. Scott Stallings, if you want to believe course history, he's 5.5-1. But then again, his course history is like 25th, not top 20. So don't get crazy. Your boy Jake Knapp's 4.5.
Yeah, I don't know if it's worth starting to fire off bets on him. Starting
to fire off money on the guy. Not just yet.
Yeah, okay. I might put him on a couple lineups on DK if I play multiple. Yeah, I made the mistake last week of playing too much money on an event that was going to get shortened.
A lot of volatility. They said volatility. Volatility.
I fucked up.
That's all good. That's the beauty of the game we play. We try again. Final thoughts on waste management. And who do you have winning the Super Bowl?
I hope the 49ers. No. It's just hard to beat PPAT
company. Yep.
Yeah. So yeah, that's who I got. But other than that, man, it's you know, So it's always a fun weekend. Got college basketball, golf going on, Super Bowl, end of football season until the USFL kicks off in a couple of weeks. So,
yep, I'm looking forward to it.
I won't be watching that, but
hey, anyways. You never know. We said that about Liv too. So buckle up. I highly doubt we'll be watching the USFL. I'm with you on that. But especially because I'll have baseball coming up. I'll be busy. But I literally told almost the same thing you said. I saw Taylor Lewan actually tweet this out about an hour ago. My heart wants the Niners to win, but my brain's telling me you just can't go against Patrick.
And I'll probably end up betting the 49ers and losing again because I bet against the Chiefs. And
I'll be playing prop bets on underdog. That's what I love doing. Just kill my time that way since it's all I can do out here. So, I'll be doing some 2-5 pick prop bet things and a lot of them. So we'll see how that goes. But until next time, make sure you check out Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods, the pod at Always Press DFS. And I'm Matt Biedientrick. This is your 2024 Waste Management Phoenix Open Preview. Catch y'all next time.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.